Just the Lord's Prayer, once again, from chapter 6. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This morning, I want us just to consider one little petition within this prayer, which is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said that they would go to a church where they say the Lord's Prayer together every week, and she was saying that it's just words. It's just something that you say. She said that no one pauses to contemplate what they're saying. These are great words that we're being called to pray here. And what we're doing over these weeks is just pausing to process, what do they mean? What actually are we praying in this model prayer that Jesus gives us and teaches us how to pray? And the first thing we need to note is that this, give us this day our daily bread, comes within the context of the prayer. It's not just on its own. It comes in an order and a structure. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an echo of a prayer that you'll find in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. And the teacher Agur, he makes this prayer. He prays, feed me with the food that is needful for me. That's the same prayer, isn't it? Feed me with the food that is needful for me. But the interesting thing is that Agur then goes on to describe why he prays this prayer. This is Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. What's Agur saying? He's saying, I say this prayer because if I have too much, I'm going to be tempted to rely on myself and bring dishonor to the name of God. And if I have too little, then I'm going to be tempted to steal, which is going to bring dishonor to the name of God. So when Agur prays this prayer, he's praying it in the context of wanting the glory of God. And when we come to the Lord's Prayer, we find exactly the same. It's not on its own, give us this day our daily bread. But ultimately, it's a prayer for the glory of God in the necessities of life, in our bread, in our eating, in our drinking. This isn't a trivial prayer. We've already prayed, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We desire your glory. Now, give us this day our daily bread. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. He says, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. This isn't trivial. This prayer that God would give us our bread for today, he's praying that God would be glorified by providing the necessities for our life every day. But I pause and I wonder, has the power of this petition been lost? Do you pray this prayer? The problem is, when we left our homes this morning, I don't know about you, but our fridge is fairly full, and you go out to the cupboard and you find there's a lot of tins out there. When you venture a bit forward, further into the freezer, well, there's food that's going to last for months in there. No maggots are getting in there. Maybe we've lost the power of this prayer. And if we have, might I suggest that it's only because we've lost a biblical view of life. This is bigger than just Hovis or Warburton's. This is a view of life that we're talking about here. The food that we eat is ours only because God upholds this universe and he gives seed time and harvest. It's easy for us to lose sight of that, isn't it? And the bread that you put in your mouth, later on, children, I don't know what you've got for your picnics. Have you got maybe carrot sticks and hummus or crisps and donuts? I don't know what you've got. But as you're putting it into your mouth, just pause and reflect. The food that we eat only nourishes us because of God's blessing. God, in his providence, has set the world up in such a way that this is how he cares for his children. This prayer should make us pause every time we say it to reflect on our view of life. Before we kind of get into any structure of it, okay, I just mention two things by way of introduction. First of all, what is bread? What is the bread that is being spoken of here? This word could just mean bread, like Hovis or Warburton's or Co-op's own brand, sliced, unsliced. It could just mean bread, but in Roman culture in the first century, it could also mean any kind of food, all of your food. It could mean more than that. It could mean your clothing. It could mean shelter and warmth, everything that you need, your necessities for the day. Give us this day all that we need, our necessities for the day. It's interesting, isn't it, that in this prayer, Jesus could have asked us to pray for great big things like rid us from the occupation of the Romans, or stop the spread of leprosy, or injustices in society. All of these things would have been good to pray for. But in this model prayer, he reminds us that it is a personal family prayer. Our Father, give us our daily bread. This is about you and your Father, and there's nothing that prevents you from praying for your necessities of the day. Everything that you need. It's not beneath you to ask for them. He knows you and he cares for you. He knows your needs even before you open your mouth. He's your Father. The other question I just want to raise is about this word daily. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. And, you know, this word has had scholars scratching their heads. What does it mean? Epiousios in Greek. It's a strange word because it's only found in the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament, nowhere else. And what makes it more difficult to translate is that it's not found in any other contemporary Greek literature. So how is the word used? What does it mean? And most of our translations, you'll see, has the word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. But that is quite a vague word. And it's certainly not a wrong word. We shouldn't criticize our translators. But it seems, most scholars would say, that it has within the word the meaning of something that is to come. If you look at the footnote, you've probably got at the bottom, you might have to put your glasses on to see the really, really small writing. It says, or the bread of tomorrow. The bread, it might mean bread of tomorrow, they say. Well, it means something of what is coming. It might read something like this: give us this day our bread for the coming day. So if you pray it in the morning, give us this day our bread for today. If you pray this prayer in the evening, give us our bread today for tomorrow. Okay, there's something about what is ahead that's included in this word. And if that's so, then we're going to have to pause a little bit later in the sermon and just ask what that might mean. So let's just get into this prayer. Three things about this prayer. First of all, this is a prayer of dependence. Give us this day our bread for the coming day, we pray. It's a prayer of, I need you. It goes something like this: Dear Father, today I need your help. Today I need your blessing. Today I need your provision. Like we said earlier, it's a great blessing having refrigerators that are stocked, pantries that are full, freezers that are bursting. What a blessing all of this food is. But brothers and sisters, it is also a profound danger. It's a profound danger because we forget that we depend upon him for every day, for every moment of every breath that we take. We depend on him. Now you might say, but I don't. You might say, do you know that bread in my, I don't know, where do you keep your bread? In the drawer? Or you say, well, I put it there. And actually, I went out to work and I've earned that bread. I didn't steal it. It didn't just appear. It's my bread. You say, it's our bread. And Jesus actually agrees with you. Look at our verse again. He says, give us this day our bread for the coming day. In some senses, in an earthly perspective, I've earned that bread. But just step back a moment. Because this prayer, like I said, is a prayer of great proportion. We need to recognize that everything we do depends upon the providence of our Father. The Heidelberg Catechism, question 125, answers like this. It says, neither our work and worry, nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. That is to say, something like, unless the Lord builds a house, the builders labour in vain. This is a big prayer. When we kneel down and we pray, give us this day our bread for the coming day, we pray, would you bless me as I go to work today? We're praying, would you provide through my work? Would you bless this food to my body and nourish me? Because everything depends upon our Father. We say, like the hymn writer, I need you every hour. In joy or pain, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Have you ever prayed that hymn? It's a hymn of desperation. Like beggars, like hungry children. Father, I need you today. It's a prayer of need, of dependence. I need you today. This isn't a prayer we just pray at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the month, or the beginning of the week. I need you today. Isn't that what God was teaching the Israelites every day? Just gather enough for today. I need you today. My pastor, when I was a teenager, was a lovely man called Richard Chester. And he talked about a time of retuning every day. He said, I have to retune my mind every day before I start the day. He said, I have to go out for a walk and just remind myself of a few things. Who am I? I'm a child of God. And who is he? Well, he is my Father who provides for my every need on this earth. And I have to retune my mind to think how I relate to this world. My job, my family, all of these things are given by the providence of God. And I pray, give us this day my daily bread. We depend on him. We need him for today because we are fragile. We are fragile. Do you know, in Jesus' day, the workers would go out to work and they would get paid a daily wage. Could you imagine being in a family where your father is ill for a few days? Just a few days of illness means no income, means tragedy for the family. Oh, how fragile the family would feel. Maybe we don't care to admit that we're fragile. When I was in Kazakhstan in the late 90s, I was there with a group of Americans. And I learned that they in Kazakhstan knew that they were fragile. We went down to the refectory to eat each day. And one day, they had these really wonky tables that were kind of wobble around like this. And one of the Americans, very insensitively, took a piece of, it was really hard bread they had in Kazakhstan, took a slice of bread and stuck it under the table leg. Can you imagine? And he stuck it there. And as he did it, he didn't think anything of it. It was just a piece of bread. But there was a palpable sense of tension in the room. And one of the Kazakh translators came over to the American and said, "Please, you can't do that to bread. You can't do that to bread." They knew how fragile they were and how they needed that bread. Maybe we've lost sight of how fragile we are with our bountiful loaves. We can just go and get another one. But friends, how quickly we can forget how fragile we are, how we forget how a global pandemic can sweep through a nation and wipe out your job. It can wipe out your health. It can cripple the health service. We can quickly forget that and rebuild and replan. We're a bit like the sandcastle that we build on the beach. And it looks so magnificent and majestic and strong. But then the tide comes in and it washes it away. It's just a memory. How weak it really is. How fragile we are. We depend and need him as we pray this prayer. But friends, maybe this leads us on to our next point. If we're more fragile than we would care to admit, and we need him for today, we also pray this prayer with great gratitude because he is kinder than we often imagine. This is a prayer of gratitude. Hear the words of Psalm 145 that Paul exulted in last Sunday. "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing." Is that the words of a tyrant father? It's not, is it? This is a description of a loving father with open hands who's stooping down to his children to satisfy their every need. Friends, we have a good and kind God. And we come in prayer and pray, "Give us this day our bread for the coming day." And we come with a thankful heart that he gives us all that we need for the day. He's not mean or begrudging, but he's generous and kind. I was reading about a family called the McCoffey family. And in 1997, they had septuplets, that's seven children. And that's a lot of nappies, isn't it? If you think about it, a lot of nappies. And Pampers, they thought this would be a rather good PR stunt. So they came to the McCoffey family and said, "Well, we would like to give you a lifetime supply of nappies." Wonderful, thought the McCoffeys. This is great. But I was just wondering, do you know, incidentally, seven children, somebody had done a little bit of maths and it worked out as something like 31,500 nappies. That's a lot of nappies, isn't it? 31,500. Could you imagine the phone call from Pampers? "Hello, is that Mr. and Mrs. McCoffey? This is Pampers headquarters. we would just like to make the shipment of Pampers. Is it okay in one shipment? 31,500 nappies. It'll be with you on Monday." "No, not one shipment, please. Oh, two shipments? 16,000 nappies? Could we do it?" "No. No, if you really care for us, Pampers headquarters, we would really love a daily provision of nappies, if that would be possible." When I was younger, my father used to look after the school fish tank, and he would lovingly put the flakes in each day. And this was before mechanical feeders, and sometimes if we were going away for a few days, he'd put in a block of food. "There we go, guppies. A lot of food. Loads of food for you. Feast on that." But that's not like our Father. He doesn't just bundle in the treats and say, well, there we go. I'll come and see you in a few years if things get rocky again. That isn't the way of our Father. This is a prayer of dependence because we need him today, but it's a prayer of gratitude because he's so kind and he wants to come to you every day. And he wants us to meet him every day so that he can feed us every day. He wants to feed us every day. Hear the words from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. What a good God you have. What a kind Father you have who wants to feed you daily. James, we read those words at the beginning. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Just let these thoughts sink in for a moment. Behind the countless joys of life is a smiling Father, raining down his pleasures on each of us every day. Every day. Did you hear those words of James? Every good and perfect gift is from above. He smiles on us every day. How ungrateful we are. Friends, maybe I could just spell this out. Do you have kids? He's a good God, isn't he? Do you have a spouse? Do you have friends? Have you got a job? Okay, let's get really mundane, shall we? Have you got a new jumper? Have you got a favourite ice cream that you can eat? Is there a favourite song that you sing as you go down the street? Have you got a good book that you're reading at the moment? Do you have shoes on your feet? Have you got a bed that you sleep in? Do you laugh? Do you have money in the bank? Have you got a Bible to read? Friends, every good gift that comes down to you is from your Father in heaven who smiles on you. This is a prayer of dependence because we need him, but it's a prayer of gratitude. We pray and rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say to you today, rejoice in him. But lastly, if this is true, give us this day our bread for the coming day. If it is a prayer of need, of dependence for today, if we pray it with gratitude because he's kinder than we had previously imagined, then it follows that we can pray this with a spirit of contentment. We can pray it with a spirit of contentment because he knows what we need and he gives us just what we need. That's what God taught the Israelites as they wandered around in the wilderness for those 40 years. Richard Cokin tells a story of a wealthy and generous Christian businessman who lost everything in the Enron scandal. And as this man reflected on where he used to work and all that he'd lost, through no fault of his own, this is what the man remarked, and I found this very striking. He said, I have repeatedly acknowledged to God that my wealth comes from him. And I have asked him that if at any point he thought that it would be spiritually better for me not to have it, that he would please take it away. And I trust that this is what he's done, and I'm content with that. Aren't those powerful words? He's lost everything. A bit like Job. And he can sit there and write words like that. We're reminded of those verses from 1 Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. And we can pray this prayer, give us this day our bread for the coming day with contentment. So as we kind of round things off, I just need to revisit something that I said at the beginning. If this carries with it the meaning of looking ahead, give us this day our bread for the coming day. There is just one more thing that I need to mention to you this morning. You see, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God says these words. You probably know them off by heart. man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is, he's saying there's more than one bread. It's not just Hovis that you need. Sorry, there are other brands. I've mentioned Hovis a few times, haven't I? There's more than that kind of bread, though, God is saying. There's another bread that you need, and that is the word of God to nourish your soul. We are soul and body, and you need sliced bread or unsliced, but you need the word of God to nourish you. Jesus found himself in the wilderness, and he'd not eaten that kind of bread for 40 days. Could you imagine not eating bread for 40 days? And he was hungry. And Satan comes to him and he says, Son of God, your father isn't giving you daily bread, is he? Does he really love you? And Jesus takes hold of this teaching from God and he says, no, hang on, Satan. There's more than one kind of bread. Man shall not live by that bread alone, but by another bread, by the word of God. Oh yes, Jesus said, I've been sustained. I've been well nourished, he says, by that other bread. And then one day, later on, Jesus has fed 5,000 people with that kind of bread, okay? 5,000 people and their stomachs are full and it's really good. And then the following day, that crowd come back to Jesus and they say, Jesus, could we have a bit more of that kind of bread? You know, we had our fill yesterday and we really like some more of that kind of bread. And Jesus says to them, he looks at them and he looks at you this morning and he says, I am the bread of life. You don't just need that kind of bread. You need something that nourishes your soul. I am the bread of life. He who eats of me will never hunger again. There's something really nourishing about Jesus. And he compares kind of eating the manna in the desert with putting your trust and your faith and leaning on Jesus for real life. Let's just anchor these verses once again. Give us this day our bread for the coming day. Brothers and sisters, visitors, there is a coming day. There's a great coming day that Jesus spoke of. A day of banqueting and feasting when the bread is going to be an awful lot better. Completely, eternally satisfying. And as we pray this prayer, give us this day, our bread for the coming day, what we're praying is give us something of that today. Might we know something of that life of eternity that's completely satisfying? Couldn't we have something of that this day? And Jesus says, yes, you can. Jesus says, come and feast on me. Come and find in my broken body and shed blood a source of eternal nourishment that means you'll never hunger or thirst again. Friends, if you've got bread, but you haven't got Christ, ultimately you are starving. Your soul is malnourished. You've got no place in that coming day. But if you have bread and you have Christ, you are completely nourished and you have hope of eternal, satisfying nourishment forever. Oh, give me Christ, I pray. As we gather around this table in a moment, this is the prayer we pray. Give us this day our bread of the coming day. As we eat and drink together, we remember something of the life of the future, brought into the present through the broken body and shed blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever fed on him? Have you lent on him? Are you leaning on him today? Oh, come and find the bread of life. We're going to close, friends, by singing. If you're a rugby fan, you'll probably know this song quite well. And maybe the words have never struck you before. But this is a prayer. A bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. We find eternal satisfaction of our hunger in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us be a church who prays for our bread, but feeds on our bread. Let's stand and sing together, shall we? This one.